Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
And now introducing a special guest for 5 on It. It is Russ Dorsey.
Hey. Do y'all have the heat on in here?
It was really cold in here, so it switched to heat.
It's so damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.
Oh, you might have to take those sleeves off.
No.
Oh.
Is this happening live on the air right now?
We're streaking!
It's going to take you up to genuine.
I was going to take a picture.
No, it is legitimately hot in here.
No! Dude, my eyes!
Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score is where you want to be right now.
Don't let your girlfriend, your wife...
We're on YouTube.
Your daughter, depending on your age. Don't let any of them watch this.
No one's riding your pony. Just,
yo.
What the hell?
What will you do, all of you, what will you do if they come up with a 20-play drive at some point this season?
It's not...
We're not doing
that's Robbie. That will be me in my house, butt naked, cheering for the Bears because they just had a 20-play drive that ends in a touchdown.
All right, we apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for that presentation.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We broadcast live through the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, but we are not there right now. We are outside. Technically, we're half outside.
No, I can walk outside without having to open a door. We are outside.
We are live at Old Crow in Wrigleyville. Come out and register to win a pair of tickets to game one of the National League Wild Card Series this Tuesday if it is at Wrigley. That's right. We are giving away Cubs playoff tickets to game one of the Wild Card Series courtesy of Budweiser. We are here until 6. We are doing drawings at 4:30, 5:30, and 6. Russ Dorsey will not be here. Do not even ask us that question. You must be present to win, though, if you want to be present for that wild card ticket drawing. It is all brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. We are part of the show swap today, broadcasting to you live on 670 The Score until 6 o'clock. So the afternoon show is where we're at today. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, as we get to celebrate a Cubs win from Old Crow.
Man, it feels so good. It's like... what I was saying about the Bears' victory. You get up the next day and everything feels better. The signage looks better. The bear is happier.
Bear.
Same thing, bear. Same thing for the Bears. Cubs. They badly needed a win because they needed a win to put out the losing streak and for the disaster that was the night before, blowing a 6-1 lead. And so everything, we're in the Ville. Look, the base of Wrigleyville is a smile usually, like, but it was kind of it was starting to frown just a little bit, and today it's back up to a nice little smirk.
It's all smiles to me. I mean, we knew that they were not well. I mean, we hoped that they would not end the regular season on a losing streak.
Man, those are two very different things.
Yes, those are very two different things. But here's the important thing: it's not just that they found a way to win; it's the way they went up against a very desperate team looking to make the playoffs in the Mets, and they dominated them from jump. their starting pitcher, the Mets that is, Tong, couldn't even make it through two trips through the lineup.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you look up, it's 6-0, not 6-1, 6-0 Cubs. And most importantly, Matthew Boyd looked like Matthew Boyd I remember going up against a tough Mets lineup. He was able to get the job done. He was able to get the win, his 14th win of the season. And now I feel a little bit better about where he is after giving up just that two-run home run over 5 1/3 innings. I feel much better about Matthew Boyd going into next week, which is really what's important.
The Cubs were able to take advantage. They put up crooked numbers in innings, and that's how you get it done. We saw that with the five-run spot, for example, against Jonah Tong. Also want to let you know who is helping us broadcast here live at Old Crow. You can text us. You can call us 312-644-6767. The text line is still open for you. You can catch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. I'm having a little bit of trouble accessing it on my computer right now, but I'm pretty sure we're broadcasting live. So that's a good thing. And we are in the Twitch chat whenever we are available to. Ray Diaz is out here alongside Connor O'Donnell, our producer. Robbie Triano is back at the office. We also have CS and Rich Wyatt both today helping engineer and broadcast live. Our promotions crew is in effect as well. So wanted to give credit to everybody since they are here and they are out with us. The important part about what we saw yesterday was we saw the return, I think, of a Cubs team different from the five-game losing streak that they had, in that they took advantage of the other team's mistakes. Mm. How did the Mets get into this situation to begin with? We know they had injuries to their pitching staff. They're arguably a different team since Kodai Senna went down, as amazingly as that may sound. And what did the Cubs have to do? They got to Jonah Tong early. He only lasts two innings officially, gave up those five earned runs, as we discussed. Then they start working on the bullpen, and the Cubs hitters not only took advantage both with their bats, but also what they did on the base pass whenever they were able to get on and create some havoc.
My God, yeah, PCA was a one-man wrecking crew when it came to creating havoc on the base paths last night. But one of the things, too, that I loved about this game was the fact that in that first, I hated what happened in the first inning, that the Cubs had two on and nobody out, and then they get a guy thrown out on the plate after further review, and the Cubs don't score. Two on, nobody out, it's the same old stuff. The Cubs typically this season have not recovered from those horrible innings. There's been way too many of those in the second half, but I'll be damned if they didn't make up for it when they had two on and that in that fifth inning, a five-run third. So I give a lot of credit to Ian Happ for starting that, because it's been so hard for the Cubs to get those gimmies with runners on base, and Happ started it off, and then you get Moises Ballesteros as well. Seiya Suzuki gets in on the party. There's nothing better than a good old-fashioned keep the line moving in baseball.
I think the biggest thing for me was to see what, if you remember, propelled the Cubs early in the season, and this is when PCA wasn't batting cleanup. It was the bottom third of the order. So to see a guy like Matt Shaw, less than a week out from the playoffs, show up, get three hits, hit the ball over the fence. And also the other thing that I can't ignore, Michael Bush, what's up, man? You over here hitting home runs off lefties?
Yeah.
Securing maybe a better spot and securing his place in a situation where maybe he would have been pinch hit for early in the season, but he stays in the game. And I think that can go a long way towards both his confidence and Craig Counsell's confidence in him.
All right. So maybe Craig Timber took a week off. Right? Maybe Craig Timber. Maybe Craig Timber took Wednesday through Tuesday off.
Well, he took last year off, so how many days off? Coming at you,
Brody. You're not wrong. You're not wrong because we expected so many things because of what we had seen him do in Milwaukee. Right? That was the whole point. You are the superior guy.
Well, and what I was going to say also is, all of these moves lead up to a point. He makes it sound very commonplace, especially when we all listened with keen intent to his interview yesterday with our afternoon show, Spiegel and Holmes. We will play some of that for you, because not only is there a lot of info about Cade Horton, we are continuing to watch that today. Our Bruce Levine is at the clubhouse today before the game as well. We'll bring you that news as it happens. He also told us about Kyle Tucker news. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk about that in the next segment after this next one. So that'll be around 2:45 or so. But we listened intently to Craig Counsell try to figure out what the keys to his success are. You know, we've heard so much about years in the past about him being part of the reason he knows how to get the best out of the Brewers. Here they are yet again, of course, winning the division. That was outside of what he did. But We wanted to see that happen for ourselves. And I think you have a game yesterday where you can say, okay, how are you going to rebound from your first five-game losing streak of the season, getting swept by the Reds, which felt like a hangover for four games the entire time on the road? This is a team that's hungry, we know, in the Mets. So the playoffs, in a way, came to you, or at least the precursor to them. This is as close as you can virtually get. Cardinals are going to come to town and try to wreck shop, and you want to try to clinch home field before that happens. Today is a good step in that direction. So when you put all of that together, how did you see Craig Counsell use his lineup? You can say yesterday what happened was not only was it productive, but even the way he was able to, say, stick with Matt Boyd, confidence in Boyd, and look what happened. He was also a big part of the win yesterday as well.
I think the biggest thing as far as looking back at that, what Craig Counsell was able to do with his lineup, a day after we saw PCA in the nine hole, right, he reminds us why he was the story of the first half. Because even if he's not hitting, because he didn't have a hit yesterday, right, but he gets on base and then he makes things happen. His ability to score on a wild pitch from second base, guys, that gave me like, oh, I need to see this the entire rest of the season. Not the regular season, but the postseason. I want this man to be out here for blood, okay? For blood. Like, PCA understands he's slumping at the plate, but speed never slumps. Unless you're Kyle Tucker, then it's
except when it does. But his doesn't. His hasn't yet. Our segment with Raheem Harris and Grody, as we join you live from Old Crow, is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. New smile, new teeth, new you.
What about the Francisco Alvarez problem? How shall we go about solving that problem? Because if it wasn't for him, Matthew Boyd would have had an even better night last night.
We tell him that he's at the wrong ballpark and that he needs to go to 35th and Shields.
Okay.
That's one way to do it.
That's the only answer I have because he's homered now in back-to-back games here.
Yes. So we'll send him right out of here. So the Matthew Boyd thing, I'm a little bit perplexed, though, by you, Mr. Harris.
Oh, tell me why.
A little bit perplexed because that's all you needed? That's all you needed from him? Because you put him like third or fourth in your rotation. You've been pretty hard
Matthew Boyd. He hasn't jumped over anyone with yesterday's performance. But what yesterday's performance did is say, okay, you can be a guy that keeps us in the game. Because guess what? If you go 5+ innings in the playoffs and you allow 2 runs or less, no matter what happens when you come out, that's why they call it a quality start, 3 runs over 6. Uh-huh. Because even if you give up 3 runs over 6 innings, your team is still in the game. They're down by 3 at the most.
Yeah. Your team had better be in the game.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But that's the whole point. That's why it's called a quality start, because you've allowed your team to stay in the game. Now you're giving up 4 runs, 5 runs. Your team is no longer in the game. They've got to score runs just to be in the game. And so for Matthew Boyd, I understand the reality of what the expectation should be for a guy who hasn't pitched this many innings ever.
Yeah.
I
agree with that. Look at all of this that's about to happen, and I'll take my cue from Craig Counsell. Like, there's not much you can do at this point. And obviously with Kyle Tucker, it's a little bit different because we don't know what's going to happen. But guys that are in slumps, there's no big adjustments that you're going to make at this point. So to put it kind of simply, it's the slate will be clean. Let's see if some of these guys get back to where they were. And there are reasons to think that they may as well when the lights really come on.
Well, hold on. Comfortable with it? With Boyd? Were you comfortable with Matthew Boyd?
I was comfortable with the combination we saw yesterday. Like, I was comfortable seeing Matthew Boyd and then, Aaron Civale also, because we were doing, we were following the game along on our group thread, and I thought that that was a really good point, too. We're like, okay, when he comes out of the game, who's coming in? And I said I wanted to see Civale. Then we saw Daniel Palencia.
Oh,
hello.
Yeah. Oh, that was nice to
that
see.
That was great.
Palencia dials up 100 on the first ball he threw. Okay, and he's healthy.
And Big Pete ripped at the center, by the way. Pete Alonso,
But he's going to do that.
Layla, you're right, though, because with Palencia, you're just wondering, okay, one, is the heat still there? Two, can you throw it where you want to throw it? Those are the only two questions I have about Daniel Palencia.
Well, and to all of that, I think it speaks to the same thing. Were you comfortable with Palencia there, knowing that he was being activated practically immediately?
Yeah.
You know, how were you going to use Aaron Civale? He ends up with a 3-out save, technically. He gets credited with that save. But we saw Palencia come in, face big boppers in their order, as mentioned. And then, you know, that might be something that we see in the playoffs. You know, that's a Mets team that wants to be in the postseason. So could that be a preview of what we might see come wild card?
I think for Craig Counsell, this was get your toe in the water. Next time I'll put you in a higher leverage situation. And if we see him two more times this week, I expect him to go further and further back towards the end of the bullpen.
While we still have a couple of minutes here, I'm Raheem Grody and Harris as we talk about the Cubs perhaps playoff preview, at least a solid win
maybe
over the Mets.
And maybe not a Mets playoff preview because they might not be going.
That's
yeah,
right.
But this is a team that very much wants to after a 10-3 win. I want to go back to what you said talking about Pico Armstrong. If he isn't producing at the plate when it comes to the slug, he knows what he can do once he's on a base path. And I think we saw that really exemplified being able to score from second on the wild pitch. There was also discussion about it after the game. Let's hear from Pico Armstrong about what he was able to see. And he also gives credit to, well, Bears.
I don't know if there's like much of a thought process that really happens during those plays. I think that's when instinct kind of kicks in and takes over. So I'm always like kind of looking for plays like that. They just rarely happen. So, again, being able to take advantage of that and it's not so often you see a ball that gets by the catcher at Wrigley that doesn't kick hard off the brick. So I was able to just kind of scan the field like our boy Caleb does. And yeah, it was great. It's great.
Well, 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 look who just got himself another bear. I think that
is that how you saw this?
I think what was going on was Ian Happ was listening to Nico Horner, who I did present. Did I not present him five bears? And I got to tell you, Nico Horner acted like he got it. Like he was like, oh, wow, what an honor.
No, so, I think he did get it.
I think he did.
Especially
I
when he took away the bear
team
from
the Super Bowl, just wanted to be the Bears.
Bears. Oh, I thought we were doing the Horner. But, yeah, that's an extra bear for Happ. So Nico, if you're listening right now, it's your move, buddy. It's your move.
To do.
To say something bear-ish. To say something
he
overly.
He already told you who he's rooting for this year.
I know. I'm just saying. I gave him five bears for, but Ian Happ just got an extra one for that Caleb pandering that he did. So I'm just saying.
You mean Pico PCA? Armstrong.
Was that PCA?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I was thinking Happ. I had Happ on my
Wow, you're just
my
subliminally awarding
yeah.
bears
yeah,
over
yeah.
here.
Oh, okay. Wow, okay. All right, yes, PCA. But that's an automatic five for him, too.
Okay, five bears for PCA.
Okay. Yeah, five bears.
See,
for
I think
that.
We've jumped
yes.
the shark on this with the five for PCA. Sounds like a bit much at this
wow,
stage.
How dare you?
I don't know, man. Yeah. Playoff baseball, that adds some bears.
Yeah. We're not there yet. Yeah.
You're contributing to the city.
Let PCA do something in the playoffs, and then we can agree on that.
I don't think that's how it works.
I
made
hope
the
that's
playoffs for the first time in 5 years.
Yeah, and he said something about the Bears, and he said something about Caleb. So that's five for you, PCA.
I think PCA loves Caleb, and Caleb loves PCA.
I will
that's
say,
what I, think.
I will say, Ian Happ deserves an extra bear for going to the 6-3 extravaganza last December.
He might deserve two or three bears.
Yeah.
That's hazard pay.
Yeah,
bears.
Well, I gotta. This is overwhelming. We've got a lot of requests here. We'll try to get to all of them.
All right. Well, while Mark ponders how we're going to dole out all these bears, we do have to update what's going on with Cade Horton. When the words and letters, frankly, MRI are used, that is a good to look at it, but not great overall, buddy. So let's examine that. We'll hear the latest from Craig Counsell. We do have Bruce Levine in the clubhouse today as we get you ready for Cubs baseball here on The Score. All of that is coming up as we broadcast live from Old Crow, Raheemi, Harris, Grody on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The Raheemy Harrison Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Michael Soroka takes over. I mean, look, they've been protecting Cade Horton in terms of pitches and innings, but this feels a little early.
There has to be something going on physically with Cade.
Cade was sick this week. He was coughing a lot. He noticed the symptoms, and it just started to tighten up a little bit, so we pulled the plug on it. Then we're just going to have to evaluate it moving forward.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a little more serious than that. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody. We are broadcasting live from Old Crow in Wrigleyville.
Yeah.
It smells like barbecue. It's very distracting. We are on a set with a bunch of pumpkins and a very fall vibe. So that's the setting for us as we get you ready for Cubs baseball here on The Score. We switched with Spiegel and Holmes. They are headed to Vegas, so we've got the afternoon show today. And Robbie Triano played your favorite song.
Wow.
Is that Grody's favorite song?
Well, no.
For bad situations, it is.
Yeah, for some reason, you know, I am musically run, as Layla is too. You know, we're kind of a couple music heads, so a lot of stuff that I associate just comes to my mind. Like when something bad has been happening lately, that song has been coming to my head.
Ever since the other day, the only song I think of when I look at you, Grody, is Trapped in the Closet.
Wait, what? I told you.
The R. Kelly classic.
Did I not come out of the closet?
You did come out of the closet, but I thought about how you were trapped at the closet. I'm glad you made it here. I was like, I hope he doesn't get trapped in that closet at House Hall again.
Right. Somebody tweeted at us and was like, don't listen to Layla. Chapters 1 through 22 will change your life.
They will.
And I lost it. I started laughing so hard because I'm like, did I think in the year of our Lord 2025 that we would be still having discourse about R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet?
Yeah, that's pretty heavy stuff.
Thank you for bringing that to the discussion.
Right. And for instance, the song previous to that, that I thought of when things were going poorly that I could have brought to the radio as well, was a song by Korn called Coming Undone. It's Coming Undone is what I would go through my head. But that's the updated version. And Cade Horton is a person of concern, is he not right now?
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's coming undone. I would not say the Cubs playoff hopes are coming undone. This is, however, going to majorly affect the rotation if there is any news. I mentioned earlier the Craig Counsell interview yesterday that happened with Spiegel and Holmes, and he casually mentions an MRI.
How's Cade Horton doing?
So we decided to do some further testing with Cade, an MRI, to just see what we're dealing with. Optimistic, but we want to make sure we know kind of what we're dealing with, or if we're dealing with anything.
And so you're still waiting on those results at this point?
Yeah, it's this afternoon, yeah.
Yeah, so you can't yet comment. So last night seemed positive about his possible future availability, but it's not.
Yeah, I that hasn't changed. I think we just want to make sure, I think, to protect Cade as much as anything, is like, let's make sure we know what's going on here.
If that was a playoff game, you think he guts it out and stays in last night?
I do, yes.
Well, that's the important part, right? Is that in that moment, Craig Counsell, talking with as much information as he had, said, hey, if this had been a playoff game, this is how precautionary this was. We would have just left him out there.
Well, let's remind everybody, number one, an MRI is a flex to anybody who pays for health insurance or doesn't have it in the United States of America. So congrats to the Cubs for having that on the ready. Makes sense, protect Cade Horton. Number two, that's the guy who I thought was probably your ace for the playoff rotation, at least to start in the wild card series. So there's that concern as well. Number three, something isn't adding up when you consider he said he was coughing a lot and that's what led to a back problem. But anytime you hear the word back, I think it is a good idea to get it checked out as much as you possibly can.
There was no alarm in Craig's voice. And I know he's pretty steady in his tone and the way he talks to those guys, generally speaking. But he was quick to answer those questions, which keeps me a little bit optimistic that he, as you said, Marshall, that, you know, asked if he would have stayed in that game. His exact words were, "I do, yes," without hesitating, even without that awkward little delay that we always hear between the questions.
It's hilarious.
That delay, does anybody else just freak out like after a question is asked? Because nobody ever knows how Craig's going to answer.
It's always better.
That's so scary,
it's
man.
It's always better when it's Matt Spiegel asking the question because he likes to go to uncomfortable places.
Oh, yeah, man.
And so when you hear the delay, you're like,
right, like it's going on. Oh. What's he going to say? Is Craig going to condescend? Is he going to get mad? Is he going to answer the question?
It's rather enjoyable on the back end, but during the delay, it is
frightening. It's like a horror film, man. That, it's like, ah.
That quarter of a second feels like it's about 10 minutes every time.
Yeah, fill it in with a little.
That's not even the best part of that clip. The best part is Julio, like, and the noise.
I picture him just jumping out of the chair. Like, that's what I heard you guys talking about. I'm so glad that you guys got to hear
it's
that.
It's being enveloped. We're trying to envelope the people.
Enveloped. That's what I said.
That's what I said.
This segment is brought to you by Great Clips.
Shut up. It's
going to be great. I can't say the same yet for the news we're going to get on Kate Horton. Just so you're aware, Bruce Levine is reporting on the Cubs today. He is going to be inside the clubhouse. He will bring us the very latest at 4:45, hopefully, depending on whether or not Craig Counsell talks at his expected 4:30 time. So that's something that we are actively tracking here as we are just a couple steps away from Wrigley Field.
I will say this. I had no concern after that interview and even last night post-game. I'm like, MRI. He's like, oh, we're about to go see the MRI, so we didn't get the news last night. But I am a little bit concerned that Jesse Rogers on Twitter, when answering a fan asking about it, said, and I'm quoting him here, the chatter def isn't positively. I can say that.
Yeah, the chatter he heard was not positive.
Yeah, but not reporting anything yet. That just, I'm sorry, Grody, I didn't mean to do that to you.
Yeah, that is it. Yeah, where's my
That
is painful.
And Jesse's been on it this season. Let's give Jesse credit because he's been on top of a lot of news, I think, ahead of schedule for a lot of people. So that is not good. And we have to come to the realization that there is a chance that not only is the National League Rookie of the Year candidate and the guy who you've now come to depend on not only to be in the playoff rotation, but to perhaps pitch game one.
He should.
You might have another plan. And that has to be in place. Even if this is a minor setback, even if it's anything more than nothing, you're looking at the chance where this likely prevents him from throwing in the wild card in some way, shape, or form. That's a real possibility here.
Maybe his next start is delayed for some reason, depending on what that news is. But I'm trying to be optimistic about this while at the same time being pragmatic. And here's what I'll say as someone being pragmatic. At least if he can't go, it's not like you don't know who would pitch. It would be Imanaga, it would be Boyd, and it would be Jameson Taillon. It would be those three guys.
Is that the order you would go?
Oh, like, no, that's not the
you
order.
I think that's the order you have to go if you know he's not available, Horton, and if you're at home. Because Imanaga at home is where he is the most successful. But even after Matthew Boyd going 5 1/3 yesterday, I feel better about that than I did previous to his start. That's why yesterday's game was so huge. It wasn't just big because of the offensive firepower we saw out of the Cubs. It was that, you know, that combination, Boyd, Palencia, and Savali, with three innings out of Savali, and he's been doing that. He deserves some credit here, too. At least you know that is a possibility that you can feel better about after last night's game.
It was really interesting. I don't know if you guys caught David Cone breaking down Matthew Boyd and explaining, in his opinion, why the drop-off. And, of course, he went to the obvious place, which we've all gone to. It's the answer, maybe, is that this is the most amount of pitches that he has thrown since 2019. But what he also said was that the measurables are, in his opinion, or even the things that are measured, they are the same. The velocity is the same. The movement on his pitches is the same. The cutter is the same. Like, all of those things are the same. And so, but then it came full circle, and he said, well, maybe he's tired. But to me, none of that really adds up. Like, if the measurables are the same and the movement is the same, I don't see how the tired factor plays a part. So it's a long-winded way of saying there's really not a good answer as to what exactly has been going on with Matthew Boyd.
I think, was he perhaps saying that because of that batters can see him well? like the longer the season goes on, the more a batter can kind of pick up what he's putting down?
Maybe that's possible too. I didn't necessarily infer that from that, but that's an interesting point in itself. Like the more you see a guy, the more he's obviously exposed.
I think with Boyd specifically, the way his stuff works, if his changeup is really on, mm-hmm. and he's so effective against right-handed hitters, and that's been kind of a bread and butter thing, but if his changeup is off and it's up, you have what you had when you saw him back in 2019 when he threw the most innings. He's thrown more pitches this year than that year, but he's more innings back then when he gave up a league-leading 39 homers.
Yeah. But he also threw a lot of strikes that year.
Yeah.
He at the halfway point, I think, led the league in strikeouts. He was a massive candidate for a lot of teams for trade value. And he, when you lead the league in strikeouts, that means you're throwing a lot of good pitches to hit as well. It's just a matter of whether or not the bat is missing them, as we know. So I feel like those two go hand in hand.
Yeah, and that's why the changeup has to be on for him, because of the effectiveness, knowing that he is loading the box up with strikes.
But either way, given that he went, you know, it was 7 against the Nationals, but it's the Nationals. That was his first start of the month on the Saturday of 9-6. So that was September 6th. That one, he went 7 innings, gave up 2 earned runs. Against the Rays, 5 innings, gave up 4 earnies. And then his last start prior to this one, Pittsburgh, where he gave up 4 earned runs. I'm feeling better about what I saw yesterday based on those factors.
You know what? And maybe let's keep this going tonight. Look, the Shota Imanaga, we all know he gets – I know. I see you. I'm going to help you out right now, Marshall Harris, who's giving me that Marshall look. You know the Marshall look, don't you, Layla? That Marshall – come on, say what you're going to say. That's what he's saying to me. What I'm going to say
the challenge,
here is
the challenge is issued?
Something like that. Like he, no matter what I say, he thinks he's got something better. That's the look that Marshall's giving me right now.
No, go ahead,
but
Gross.
No, please just one home run, maybe. I allow you to give up. Like, just, and I know, like, it's part of the story. You knew going into Shota Imanaga when he came here that he gives up a lot of home runs. It's what he does. He's a fly ball pitcher. I get it. But don't, and I know they were solos, gave up 3 home runs in his last start, and you just keep going back through the game logs, and it's like, let's get used to not doing that. Just a minimum.
He's going to have to pinpoint spot him, and hopefully the velo is there where it needs to be. That 1 mile is a lot for him.
It is. Oh, yeah. We saw that for years with Kyle Hendricks.
Let's not get used to doing what exactly?
Giving up home runs.
We're already used to it.
Okay.
No one's giving up more
that's
home
why
runs
I'm saying.
The All-Star
I know, Marshall. That's why I'm saying, hey.
The fact that you're begging for him to just give up the one home run, that kind of tells the story, right? It's like, I would say,
it's,
hey,
it's what
Shota,
you're willing to put up with that's outside
the bar.
The
I've got,
standard.
I brought like, this bar in here with
you
me,
give
and
up
I'm
just
pretty
one
low.
Home run.
It's under the table right now.
It is lower than the bar at Old Crow.
We're lower than the bar. We're at this 6th stage up here.
But
it's
of course,
awesome.
We are elevated right now. I'll say this.
It's
if he gives
here.
Up just the one home run and it's a solo home run, again, because of what my expectations are of Shota Imanaga, I guess I can live with it. Because if he gives up one home run, it's a solo home run.
That's what I said.
The problem with Shota is he has that his recent history of just doing it so early. Like, okay. You look up and it's the second inning, it's 1-0 or 2-0.
All right, I just set the over under 1.5. Layla, over or under tonight for Shota giving up home runs?
Over.
No, okay.
What did you say that, 0.5?
At 1.5.
Oh, 1.5.
1.
Oh, yeah, I'm taking the over.
Yeah, I'm taking the over.
And you're taking the over. So
Mets know how to bop.
But
Francisco Alvarez is out here hitting home runs, man.
Yeah, Juan Soto is having a bad year in which he's about to be. I mean, he could legitimately be a 40-40 player at the end of the week.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the Mets boppers. What about the Cubs?
They finally got a 30 Cubs. Home run hitter.
The latest on Kyle Tucker coming up next here. Harris. Rahimi Harrison Grody from Old Crow. And a friendly reminder that tonight the Cubs wrap up their series at home against the Mets. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:05. First pitch is at 6:40 on the Score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. The latest from Craig Counsell on Kyle Tucker is on the way.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Listen to Raheemi, Harris, and Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Honestly, I don't think anyone's wanting me to be out there more than I am. I mean, I don't necessarily love, you know, just sitting out and not being able to go out there and help my team win. So trust me, I'm doing my best over here to try and get back.
That was Kyle Tucker talking about his calf injury. This is Raheemi, Harris, and Grody as we broadcast live from Old Crow in Wrigleyville. Come out and register to win a pair of tickets to Game 1 of the NL Wild Card Series this Tuesday if it is at Wrigley Field. And we're hoping it is because the magic number is now down to 2. We are giving away Cubs playoff tickets to Game 1 of the Wild Card Series courtesy of Budweiser. We're going to be here until 6 as we fill in for Spiegel and Holmes. They are headed to Vegas. We are doing drawings at 4:30, 5:30, and 6. You must be present to win. It is all brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud is for you. So that was Kyle Tucker talking about trying to get back. We've been trying to figure out when that was going to happen. Goes to Tampa. Cubs training staff goes with him, works with his rehab and his physical therapy people there. And Craig Counsell said on yesterday's show with Spiegel and Holmes, this kind of got snuck in, I feel like, because we were so busy listening to the news about Kate Horton, that we have a timeline for Kyle Tucker's return. Let's take a listen.
Kyle's doing better. I mean, I think we're trending towards Kyle playing this weekend. And I think, you know, from his perspective, too, it's like we're just going to have to go out and at some point we're reaching a point where he's going to be able to go out and play. And then we're going to have to kind of diagnose of what we got kind of during the game. Right. But I know it's important that he plays and he feels the same way. And so, you know, I think the game probably will help him at some point. And that's so and he needs at bats. And I think he'd tell you the same thing.
So that is good news because it sounds like Friday is the day they are targeting for him at least returning to the field as a designated hitter. But given the video we saw on Tuesday, I guess Wednesday was a really good day when it came to getting out there and his healing, because Tuesday he did not look like a guy who could run to first base like he normally does.
Oh, I still don't think he looks like a guy who can run much better than that, but they're saying the bat and you not maybe overexerting yourself, busting it down the line, playing in the field, that they'd rather have that bat than anything else. And I think that speaks volumes to how valuable they believe he is to their chances at postseason success.
Yeah, and no matter what, I mean, I've been saying, you know, he's sort of been frozen in time with PCA and Seiya Suzuki after the red hot starts. But no matter what, especially when it comes to the primetime games, that guy matters a ton. And I don't care about the defense, honestly. Like, can the hit tool help you in his case? I can't help it, but it taking me back to 2016 and Kyle Schwarber and then magically appearing. That's why I like have these like weird things with Kyle Schwarber where I once said that he did bigger things in a Cubs uniform than in a Phillies uniform, because it all felt like magic with Kyle Schwarber when he did those things. But he came back and he contributed, you know, in the World Series, which was amazing.
Well, and Kyle Tucker, as we know, has established playoff production experience, and I totally understand why the team wants to get something out of him.
Yes.
It's just a matter of, for me, if it's worth the risk of re-injuring somebody who has had trouble with injury all season. I know they're different body parts. I know that the finger is totally different from the leg, but he had a shin injury the year before, different leg. I'm just saying, if it's been this slow to recover, what's another 3 days against a Cardinals team where hopefully at that point you've clinched home field advantage for the wild card?
I think number one, they just want to make sure that he's comfortable at the plate and he's not just dropped into a game one of a wild card series. But also for him, he has more to lose than the Cubs. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
So if he's willing to go out there and try it on a bad calf, a not 100% calf, all the power to him. because he's the one who's going to be losing money at the bank if something happens to that calf.
But before the bank, I think, as we just said, their success is also tied to his, and it shows in the record. That's how they got there to begin with.
Yeah, with all those guys.
And when they struggled in July, part of it was because he wasn't hitting for power. So I would love for Kyle Tucker home runs only to come through. That would be amazing. But I don't necessarily know if we can get the cheat code on him before next week.
Five on it addendum. Cheat in the middle of it. Here it is. You ready, guys? Which player will snap out of their slump in the postseason for the Cubs? Will it be PCA? Will it be Kyle Tucker? Okay. Or will it be, say, a Suzuki?
I don't think when Kyle Tucker's slumping.
Yeah, when you say slump, what do you mean?
I mean getting back to where they were at the beginning of the season. That's why I mentioned those
Tucker.
Three guys.
It's
because
got to be Tucker.
It's Tucker.
Okay.
And then it might be Seiya. Because I feel like
how about PCA?
I feel like Seiya's success attaches to Tucker's in a way.
No, I think...
Have we just put PCA away, like in terms of
we're
not going to expect him to hit?
No, we put Suzuki away.
Okay.
I feel like it's more like recognizing Tucker's resume.
It's not even
the most likely thing to happen just based on numbers.
Uh-huh.
Is that if Tucker is healthy, he's your bopper in the playoffs.
Right, and the fact that we talked about this a couple times the other day, he did have that shin injury last year. You just mentioned that. The shin injury last year came back, and he had a 1.067 OPS in September or something like
outrageous,
that.
And he came through. Like, and he's a big moments guy.
Yes.
I think you can equate a lot of the gravity of the hits, you know, in October to, like, for example, the feeling you get knowing what's the ball off the bat for Kyle Tucker. Kyle Schwarber, I feel like, is the same idea. Like, you know that thing's gone when you hear it.
And with Seiya Suzuki, he just has not done anything in the second half of note.
Yeah.
He has not done anything of note in the second half. At least when you talk about PCA, I can point to moments like last night where he did something.
Yeah.
Right?
Go back to this. From a no-hitter on Thursday.
Seiya did have an RBI double last night. Just keep us honest.
And he saved them from a no-hitter.
And he saved them from a no-hitter.
On a slider, no less, which I thought was progress.
Let's compare that to a go-ahead home run to win a game for PCA on the West Coast trip against the Angels, right?
Yeah, he's done more. I'm not here to fight that.
And for Seiya, I don't know if he should be in the top five of the lineup come playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't necessarily know, though. Some people are okay with change. Like, some people adapt to it. Like, Ian Happ will go anywhere in the lineup. We've seen Dansby Swanson go up and down the lineup. Nico, great example. I don't necessarily know that that's going to resonate well with Seiya.
But my point is, I don't care if it resonates well with him because he's not really doing anything where he is, and he's costing them opportunities being in the top five of the lineup.
But I mean, in scope of production, I don't know that it would resonate well.
Yeah, no, I'm saying if you have to play him, put him down lineup where he's not hurting you as much as he's been hurting them the entire second.
There couldn't be a more difficult decision for a manager to make. I mean, it's like almost like cold blooded if he was to sit him out or give some other guys.
Who would you rather see in the cleanup spot, Mo Baller or Seiya?
Dude, Mo Baller's been having a time out there.
Let me just put it
Mo
plainly
Baller
for
looked
you.
Good yesterday.
I feel like I know that guy is going to hit the ball hard somewhere, even if it's going to be out. He's going to make your Mo Baller is
Whose
the answer.
Whose hit tool is better, Mo Baller or Seiya?
I know.
Straight
up. And crazy, like, you never would have thought that at the beginning of the season. Like, if somebody had said, you know, Ballesteros is going to come up and he's going to take the place of Seiya Suzuki,
we'd be
laughing
what?
Like I am
in,
right now.
In limited time, Mo Baller has more memorable second-half moments than Seiya Suzuki.
Yeah. So if you're the manager, do you just keep doing what they've been doing? Like, it's got to get better, right? It's going to happen, right? And no, it's not.
I will say this. Last night was one of those moments where I said to myself, the game has slowed down for him, Moises Ballesteros. You could see
it
happen.
Yeah.
Like, you could see that happen real time. That's how I felt yesterday watching his at-bat.
He looked like Tony Gwynn out there, the way he was just flipping that thing around.
That's so good.
Unless he's hitting to the 5.5 hole, he is not Tony Gwynn.
That grounder,
I don't want to hear it from you.
The base hit he had where, who was thrown out at the plate? Somebody was thrown out at the plate for the Cubs.
I remember when he was thrown out at the plate.
Second, it was actually the first inning. Oh, Bush. It was Michael Bush. Thrown out at the plate. that hit, and that was by Mo Baller, had the hit. It was very Tony Gwynn looking, very Mark Grace looking. Like, it's a base hit that looks like it should be an out, but no, it's just really good little piece of hitting where the ball just gets right up the middle.
Don't hear that anymore.
I don't hear that anymore.
I can't believe I just heard a Mo Baller, Tony Gwynn, Mark Grace comparison.
Oh, it's all those guys.
They're already out here for it.
Yeah.
We have more here to come on Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. We are live from Old Crow in Wrigleyville. We are giving away World Cub wildcard tickets if the game is here. That's courtesy of Budweiser. You have to be here to win those. So we continue our show coming up next. We gotta talk a little Bears, don't we?
Bears.
Yeah, except the problem is also Raider. And by Raider, I mean Max Crosby. How are the Bears planning on facing him, potentially neutralizing him? We'll break it down next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.